A quick word on, we were in a series called Legacy, and we've been studying the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, where Paul is passing on the faith to one of the first, second generation leaders, Timothy, who's one of the leaders in the church in Ephesus. And so I thought, as midway through the series, it'd be really neat to hear from one of the Timothys of our church, a young woman that came to Christ through the ministry of Columbia Grove, has been discipling through our youth ministries, and now is a disciple maker. And she has been interning with us for a couple of years and works with our middle school program. So Area 56ers, they're all in the second service. They're all sleeping in. But she runs a fantastic program. And in many ways, she's my kid's pastor. So it's just a real privilege to have her share today. So, Mackenzie, go get them.
I kind of feel like I'm switching jobs with Andrew because most of the time I do the children's sermon. So I think we should probably keep this up for the rest of the week. And I can go into the office and he can go take my physics final and it'll be good, right? Okay, maybe not. Maybe not. I kind of need a good grade. So there. So when I was a little kid, my favorite question to be asked was, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of answers for it. I wanted to be a waitress for a little bit because that's what my mom did when I was little, and I just wanted to be just like her because she's pretty awesome. For a long time, I wanted to be a ballerina. I don't know where I got that. I've never taken a dance lesson. I trip over flat, stable surfaces, and so basically it would have been disastrous, but I wanted to do it. I also wanted to be a figure skater, combining all of my problems with dancing with these sharp, pointy blades on my feet and ice, and no, it would have never, ever worked. For a really long time, I wanted to be a rocket scientist. Did I know what a rocket scientist does? No. Do I know now what a rocket scientist does? No. But it seemed like they got to wear lab coats, and that looked really cool. And they probably used chemistry, which sounded like fun. And, you know, I was just a really cool third grader. And I wanted to be able to go up to someone in the heat of the moment at work and look at them and go, it's not like it's rocket science. Oh, wait. Plus, I kind of wanted to blow stuff up, and that seemed like the most likely job to get to do that. And then I wanted to be an actress for a while. But, you know, eventually, I just kind of got bored with plays. But for the longest time, I wanted to be an author. Kind of changed back and forth constantly, whether I wanted to write children's books, or be a journalist, or just compose really amazing shopping lists. You could probably make money doing that, I'm sure. But there were so many problems with it. I mean, I'm not creative at all. I can distinctly remember writing one story exactly like Harry Potter, but making the character a girl and changing her name. And then I honestly remember going to the Harry Potter book and opening up their supply list and rewriting the name of every book just with like a couple words changed, because I was that creative. And then I had a really well-meaning man at a sixth grade science camp tell me all of the problems of publishing and how you hardly ever got signed. And then even if you did, you only sold books if you were famous, but you only got famous if you sold books. So that was a vicious catch-22. And journalism was dying out too, because who buys the newspaper anymore? Come on, it's online. So that was a pretty unrealistic goal too. And so eventually, you know, this idea of writing just got put on such this high pedestal in my head, and I just decided I couldn't do it. And so outside of class, I just stopped writing. You know, I've never actually finished any of those stories that I started so long ago. But I think my story's kind of similar to a lot of others. I mean, you ask any little kid what they want to be when you grow up, and get answers like an astronaut or, you know, a ballerina, a princess, an artist. I mean, my mom's boyfriend wanted to be the guy that chops up the butter into those little squares at restaurants and then wraps them in the little tin foil. That's what he wanted to do for the rest of his life. There's not actually a man that's back in the restaurant doing that. But you know, they have all these cool dreams. And then I look at my friends that graduated on Friday, and they've let go of a lot of those dreams. I mean, granted, unless they were apple blossom royalty, they kind of outgrew wanting to be princesses. But for a lot of them, they just saw all the problems stacked up, and they decided not to try. Because in the end, we've all done it. You know, we let all these excuses run our life, and we say, I'm not good enough to try and help there, or I'm too short to preach on the bottom step, or I'm too tall to do that, or I'm not rich enough, or I'm too rich to do that. And we just pile up all of these excuses, and we stop trying. We're in the middle of a series right now called Legacy. We're looking at how to pass on our faith to the next generation. And honestly, I think that's a pretty daunting task, because as much as we hate to admit it, we're not perfect, and we might say something wrong. And I know I'm always scared to talk about Jesus because I'm afraid that I'm going to turn somebody away from the faith, and that's the last thing I want to do. And so I think a lot of times we build up those excuses and we just stop trying. But luckily, we're not the only people who have these challenges to overcome when it comes to passing it on. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So throughout the series, we've been going through 1 and 2 Timothy, and these books, they're letters written from Paul to Timothy, like Andrew said earlier. And you know, Timothy was the second generation leader, and Paul invested some very serious time mentoring him. Oops, my headphone just fell off. Oops, that was fun. I feel like a Spice Girl with this thing. It's so cool. But he spent very serious time in mentoring Timothy because he really wanted Timothy to become that leader that God was calling him to be. And so, you know, these books, they're filled with advice on how to run a church and how to work with people and how to follow God with your life. And so in chapter 4, Paul starts talking very specifically to Timothy, and we're going to jump in towards the end of the chapter, and we're just going to go for it. So First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an..." What's that word? Example. "Set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct." Some translations just say in life, "in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." So Timothy, he goes on to be that very important leader that God called him to be. But at the moment when Paul is writing him this letter, he has a bit of a roadblock in his life. He's young. I mean, it's easier for the people in the church to write him off because he doesn't have as much life experience, and it's right, but he doesn't let that stop him. Because here's the thing. Unless you happen to be Maria Gomes Valentin, who, according to Wikipedia, is the oldest person in the world, and who doesn't trust Wikipedia? But unless you happen to be her, you're always going to be young to somebody. Now, I'm about to start my senior year in high school, and granted, I realize that's not old at all, like, at all, but I still get asked if I want to eat at the kiddie table. I haven't wanted to eat at the kiddie table since I was 9 years old, and even then, I hated it. But to my grandmother, I'm still that young. See, there's always going to be some kind of roadblock in our life that stops us from trying. You know, those roadblocks are really, when it comes down to it, they're just excuses. They can be anything. You know, maybe instead of feeling too young to go out there and set good examples, maybe we start feeling too old and too outdated. Or maybe we start to feel too inexperienced to do something. Or maybe you even feel too experienced. Who knows? Because, you know, in the end, we just find an excuse and we stop trying. But what Paul is telling Timothy in this passage, it can be summed down, or condensed down basically into one simple sentence, and it's up on the board, and it says, don't live an excuse. Live an example. Can you say that with me? Don't live an excuse. Live an example. If you substitute basically any adjective in for that word young, the statement still fits. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're rich. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're poor. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're male. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're female. On and on. Set an example. Paul is telling Timothy here not to be defined by the hurdles that we have to overcome in life, and not to live by those excuses, but to set them away and to go set examples in speech, set examples in life, in faith, and in love, and in purity. In the end, Paul's standing there saying, and he's telling Timothy as he goes on, and he says, do not neglect your gift and devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, and I'm skipping all around here, but he tells Timothy to focus on Jesus and to do it in tangible ways that people can see. Because in the end, our legacies, they're not going to be passed on by the things that we say. They're not going to be passed on by the causes we support, by the things that we buy. Not that any of that's bad. But our legacies are going to be passed on by the lives that we lead and by the examples that we set. They're not going to be taught. These legacies are going to be caught. People pick up on your habits, and they watch what you do, and they follow you. And maybe you might not be a leader. That's fine. Not everybody is called to be. But no matter who you are, you already set an example. You already have a legacy. It's just up to us to make sure they're good ones. Because, we influence all these people around us, and we might not even notice it. I babysat overnight for the Thompsons one night, and so Lauren and Elizabeth and I, we built a fort, and we stayed up late, and we ate lots of ice cream, so basically a typical Friday night for me, but they thought it was heaven. So we did all these things, and then we were getting ready for bed, and we were brushing our teeth, and Elizabeth and I are in there, and I had the cooler toothbrush because mine's a VeggieTales one that sings the song. And so we... I'm mature. So we were in there brushing our teeth, and I watched as Elizabeth kept glancing at me to see how long to brush her teeth. And so for once in my life, I actually brushed for the whole 2 minutes. Because I wanted Elizabeth to. But if my mom, who works at a dentist office, asks, I do that every day. Sometimes I even go for three. Because, we're always setting these examples. Always. So we just need to make sure that they're good ones. So here's my little challenge for you today. Join me in a writing exercise. If you have your bulletins, take out your little insert here. And there are three questions on it that I'd like you to fill out with me. Okay. The first one says, I am currently setting an example of speech, conduct, love, faith, and... Andrew, you missed a comma. Love, faith, and purity in the following ways. I'm currently setting an example in the following ways. And I want you to write that down, a good one. Because we should be thankful for the examples that we're giving that are good. I am so thankful for the ones that I have in my life that are teaching me how to follow Jesus, even Andrew and his lack of grammar and commas. I'm thankful for those. So write one down. And then the next question says, I'm currently not setting a good example when I do the following. Because if there's one thing that I've learned throughout this life, it's that there's always room for improvement. And nobody's going to look at this. It's just between you and God. So, it keeps falling off. So, I'm just asking you to be, to be as honest as you'd like. And so, write one of those down. And then the third question says, one way I'm asking Jesus to help me improve the example I'm setting. Because as maybe you're asking, maybe you're wanting to leave a legacy that says, hey, we pray, but nobody ever sees us do it. So pray at dinner. Maybe we're trying to leave legacies that say we value what people think, but we never actually stop and listen. So go out there, really ask somebody how their day was, and listen. Maybe we're trying to leave a legacy that says, you know, we care about service and we want to go out there and help people, but we're not living that out on a day-to-day basis. So find a way to serve. I'm not asking for anything major. Don't go out there and radically change your lifestyle in one fell swoop. Because in the end, those little details, they're going to add up. And eventually we're going to have these legacies, these lifestyles that people are going to pick up on. But the beautiful thing about this story and the beautiful thing about reality is that it doesn't end with us. Because as much as we might care about our legacies, Jesus cares about them more. As much as we might love our kids, as much as we might love our peers, Jesus loves them more. And so he wants them to have legacies that are worth following. You know, and no matter what our legacies look like today, maybe they're good, maybe they're not so good, Jesus can take them, and he can rewrite them, and he can make them something new and something good, a legacy worth following. And when I finally started writing again, it wasn't anything major. I didn't write that children's book. I didn't write that newspaper article. I mean, I didn't even write a shopping list because we lose them before we go to the grocery store, so they're pretty pointless at my house. But I did go out there and start keeping a journal. And I mean, I don't really feel called to be an author anymore, but I found the joy in writing again. Even my college application essays are kind of fun to write now, but I'm going to whine about them anyways, so deal with it. And I think that as we start focusing on leaving good examples, life might just be a little bit like that. We might find the joy in it again. Because as we ask Jesus to take our lifestyles and to make them examples worth following, we're way more likely to become better people. People who devote themselves to Christ in prayer and in Bible study. People who care about those around them and try to help them and be their friend. People who love. I mean, that's the kind of world I want to live in. One where Jesus sets the best example and we follow. Will you pray with me? So God, we thank you today for the example that you've given us in your Son. And we pray that you would help us to follow him better and to make our lifestyles, our legacies, ones worth following. And I pray today that no matter where our lifestyles are now, whether they be good, whether they be not so good, God, I pray that you would capture our hearts and help us to take those steps towards making them examples that are worthy of following. I just pray that you would, God, capture our hearts and remind us again of what it means to follow you and to do it wholeheartedly. We just thank you for this day and for this opportunity. Amen.